Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Oregon. Today is Wednesday, March 29th, 2023. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 70, paragraph 2, that begins with to sum up about sex and ends with when to yield would mean heartache. Today's readers are, for our last day in March, J.D. for the 12 steps, Patty F. for the 12 traditions, reading the text in support, Kara L., Betsy H., Sandy K. Listen for Christina M. at the end of the meeting when it's not recorded for newcomer greeter and sponsor information collector, and giving announcements then would be Lois T. at the top of the hour. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that would be Tuesday, March 28th, is 20093, 20,093. And then this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, Wednesday, March 29th, 2023, is 20100, 20,100. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery, and I would like to ask Shay D. to read those 12 steps of this program to you this morning. Good morning, Shay.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. My name is Shay D., gratefully recovering in California. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Shay D., for your humble service this month. Greatly appreciated. I would now like to ask Patty F. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Patty F. in Massachusetts, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group but never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Patty, for your humble service this month. Much appreciated. Much appreciated. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and the indication here is to use the star 1 key function only for muting, and that disconnects you, and also consider not using speakerphones. And extra rustling in the background would be nice too, because it's all recorded and gets loud. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 70 in the chapter How It Works with the Big Book. We're on going to unpack this morning paragraph 2, which says to sum up about sex and ends with when to yield would mean heartache. I would like to then ask Kara L. to open up this meeting today by reading that paragraph for all and then discussing her experience with it as the guidelines direct, and then we'll open up to the rest of the fellowship this morning. Kara L., press star 1. I'm ready to hear your intro this morning. Thank you. Carol, I'm so sorry. Would you press star 1 to unmute if you're still with us?
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I can. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. About sex, we earnestly pray for the right idea, for guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity, and for strength to do the right thing. If sex is very troublesome, we throw ourselves harder into helping others. We think of their needs and work for them. This takes us out of ourselves. It quiets the imperious urge when to yield would mean heartache. Good morning, this is Kara L. from Long Beach, California. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I love that this paragraph when they give me a prayer. I get to pray for the right idea, for guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity and for strength to do the right thing. I think, you know, I can translate this over to lots of things in my life. You know, there's the sex question when I was in the disease and I could fall in love with a stranger, you know, looking for attention, looking for approval. And here today, like, if my mind goes to those places, I got to pray for the right idea, for guidance, you know, for sanity, for strength to do the right thing, right? I get it. It's the answer today for me, you know, and if things are particularly troublesome, you know, it tells me what to do. Work with others. Help. You know, get out of myself, you know, because I know when I make the choice that is self-driven, right, when that urge, that imperious urge, when that sudden thought, I'm going to have remorse. I'm going to have heartache if it's here. But today, what I got to do is I got to stop. I got to realize that I don't have the answers myself. And when I use my own brain and I try to figure something out or I try to fix it, I'm going to have heartache. Today, what I got to do is I got to reach towards the power greater than myself and I got to say, I don't know what to do here. This is my best thought and it doesn't get me very far. You know, can you please help me? Give me intuitive thought, inspiration, decision, you know. And then I got to work with others and I got to say, okay, I'm going to stop thinking about myself. And I'm going to just put, you know, energy and effort into others and say, how can I be of service? You know, and it is. I'm going to use the word miraculous. It is miraculous how things clear up and how simple it becomes when I stop trying to do it myself and I ask for help. I'm so excited to hear from everybody else this morning. Thank you, and I will pass.
Thank you very much, Kara L. from California, for opening up the discussion this morning for us. And although we do accept and respect everybody's experience here, we ask that you share every third day in order that others might be able to share their experience as well. So if you haven't shared like Monday and Tuesday, and perhaps last Friday, perhaps this day would be yours. Otherwise, maybe you can consider tomorrow. So I'd like to take a lineup of about six people, please. And if you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and your state, perhaps we can take a lineup. Cynthia C.
Bruce E., Florida.
Cynthia C. and Bruce. Star one, please, for the rest.
Diana Y. from Philadelphia.
Diana. Gotcha, Diana. Thank you. Okay, let's keep that time from ticking away too far and start with Cynthia C., followed by Bruce E. this morning. Good morning, Cynthia. Star one, please. And everybody else, star one to mute.
Thank you so much for your service and moderating. Thank you for everyone who makes this meeting happen today and every day. This is Cynthia C., recovering compulsive eater and food addict in Newton, Massachusetts. I am very grateful to be on this meeting today. I can't get here as much as I can't get. I'm not able to get to this meeting that often anymore, and I really do love it. So when I'm here, I feel a deep sense of gratitude, and I really, really love the reading, and I love the opening share. There's a lot going on in my family right now, like a lot. Yesterday was the 10th anniversary of my brother's suicide on the Hebrew calendar, and that was just very painful to me. And I've spent the month of March really, my food's been cleaned up, and I've really been rethinking what our relationship was like. And it was painful. It was just a very painful thing to look at. And I just prayed a lot for guidance, a lot to remember that I'm being taken care of, a lot to remember that I don't have to figure everything out. We have triplets who are graduating from, triplet girls who are graduating from college this coming May, and there are some timing conflicts and a lot of expectations from people, and no matter what I say or do, someone is disappointed and someone is upset, and and there's still a part of me that wants, that would love to run back to the food and hide in that food oblivion. And yet that makes everything work. That makes everything worse, not work. And so today, the only other thing I know, you know, is to show up, commit my food, you know, pray for my, you know, really need to pray, to pray, to pray, to pray, to pray, to pray for the willingness to show up, to pray for the willingness to do the next right thing, to pray for the willingness to let go, to pray for the willingness to surrender. You know, that is the only thing that I know that works today, is to pray, 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 because there's nowhere in the big book does it say, try to figure it out. Like, nowhere in the big book does it say, figure it out on your own. And yet I know that, you know, because of, you know, whatever, the lessons that I learned growing up, I'm supposed to figure this out on my own, and that doesn't work. It doesn't work for me, and it doesn't work for anyone else. And I'm on the seventh step in another program, and I can really see as I pray to have higher power lift my character defects from me.
That would be time.
Thanks. That all of this is not a coincidence, that it's meant to be, and it's a message from my higher power. Thank you so much. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Cynthia C. And just for those that are coming on, we are focusing our discussion on paragraph 2, page 70. If you would keep your share to that particular paragraph, that will help lead the rest of us this morning. And next up is Bruce E., followed by Diana Y.
All right. Good morning, Mel. It's Bruce E. I'm a recovered food addict in Fort Myers, Florida. And, okay, I shared on this subject, I think, last week, and I was happy that I get to share. Not particularly happy, but, you know, grateful I get to share again on this subject. It looks like this is and I get a kick out of this. It says to sum up about sex, right? Well, how are you going to sum up about sex? You know, you got people that write books and books about this. He talked about this thing for a page and a half or 2 pages, and now he's going to sum up about sex? How do you do a summary of sex, you know? So I think maybe what he's saying is to come to a conclusion about talking about the subject of sex. That's what I think he's talking about. Anyway, he gives us the third prayer. So we've had 2 prayers previously. We had on the previous page, we asked God to mold our ideals and help us to live up to them. And then at the bottom of that previous page, we asked God what we should do about each specific matter. And now the third prayer, we earnestly pray for the right ideal and guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity and the strength to do the right thing. So I caught that too about the questionable, each questionable situation. What is a questionable situation? Well, I mentioned, I think, last week that I was very sexually active, not now. I don't go out on my wife. I honor her with just, you know, keeping it there. But previously, up until about age 38, I was very active sexually. And I regret that. I wish I hadn't done that, but I did, and I've done amends on that. But for guidance in each questionable situation, well, these questionable situations continue to come up. Maybe not for other people, but for me, you know, because now that I'm not sexually active, where does my mind go? You know, that's a questionable situation when I meet somebody or I see somebody or I think of somebody, and if my mind goes over to the sexual side of things, that's a questionable situation for me. And I need to bring it back over to think in terms of, well, that's somebody's wife, that's somebody's daughter, that's somebody's girlfriend, that's somebody's spouse, that's somebody's granddaughter, you know, that's somebody's grandmother. You know, I mean, you know, that person is not there for me to be having sexual thoughts about. You know, that person is there because God put them there, and maybe I can be of some help to them, maybe not, maybe they're going to be some help to me. But anyway, it's a questionable situation, and I have to remember that. And it says for sanity and the strength to do the right thing. So I need sanity because my mind can go into insanity real quick. And strength to do the right thing, I need strength to do the right thing. And it says if sex is troublesome, we throw ourselves harder into helping others. So I try to do, I do try to help people, you know, I try to sponsor people and other things, help other people in other ways. I make phone calls, you know, people help me, I help others. But I like this, that he says, throw yourself harder into helping others. In other words, do more to try to help other people. We think of their needs and work for them instead of coming out of my own isolated selfish self. I can think of trying to help somebody. This takes us out of ourselves. All right. Takes us out of my selfish self. Okay. Thank you. Quiets the impervious urge. Okay. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. from Florida. And I just wanted to tell everybody again that they're just maybe coming in this morning. We are on page 70. We're taking apart paragraph 2 this morning that begins with "to sum up about sex," focusing our discussion on that particular paragraph. And I'm going to open up the lines after Diana Y shares for 3 minutes to additional comments on that paragraph. So get prepared. But for now, we're ready to listen to Diana share this morning. Good morning, Diana.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm Diana, and I'm a sugar addict. And this program has been such a miracle for me. I didn't know how to live my life before I came into program. It took me a long time. I've been in program for a very long time. One thing I know to do is to, as the paragraph says, you know, throw ourselves hard into helping others, doing step 12. And I know how good it feels to me when I'm talking with others and I really feel a connection with somebody and I get a sense of peace and contentment. And I've always been, my personality is a helper. I'm a teacher. And I love teaching people, and I love being of service and to give others the knowledge that I've been given. And lately I've had things that have been going around in my head that are bothering me, and it definitely comes out in my food. My nighttime snack has gotten more voluminous, and I automatically go to what is bothering me. And I started working again recently, and I've been remiss in reaching out and making outreach calls and helping others. And I know that that's something that I really have to focus on and also deal with the things that are going on in my head that keep going round and round, and I'm not dealing with it, and I'm procrastinating. And I'm not working today, so I know that that's something that I'm going to need to focus on and get rid of and tell someone, so that I can get back to a sense of peace and calm in my brain. And that's what I've learned over the years, is that if there's something going on with my food, thank you, that I have to look to my thoughts and what I'm thinking about. Thank you so much for letting me share. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. Diana Y. from Pennsylvania. And although we do value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So it would be open now for additional comments on paragraph 2, page 70 of the big book. If you give your first name, the first initial of your last name, and perhaps your state, I'll take a lineup of about 6.
Sarah P. from California.
Sarah P., California.
Mary Pat, I from Ohio.
Mary Pat, I, Ohio.
Dion R. from Ohio.
Dion R. Ohio.
Paige L. Oregon.
Paige L. from Oregon. Okay. Gotcha.
Nicole C., Washington State.
Nicole C., Washington State. Let's go with that lineup. Sounds good. We'll see what happens afterwards. So far we have Sarah P., followed by Mary Pat, and then followed by Dion R. First up, Sarah. Hello, good morning. Your 3 minutes starts just now. Want to press star one, please,
Hi.
Sarah?
Yeah, sorry, I was trying to figure that out. This is my first time sharing on this meeting, and I find that every time I come onto the line in the morning, we're always reading exactly what I need to hear. And what I needed to hear today was that the solution right here that I heard is to just go directly back to God every single time. Recently, in my high school years of life, I've just experienced heartache for the first time. And at the end of the paragraph, and it talks about, I read it as the avoidance of wanting to feel that heartache. And that goes back to me of my defective self-centeredness, of what I was doing to grip onto the situation was for my own self as well, of not wanting to feel that hurt that would come after having to let go of this person. But the solution to that is just giving it over to my higher power and really just going back to that step 12 of being of service, because all of it was in my head of me, my worries, my problems. Everybody, listen to how sad I am over this. When to find the light again and to find my connection back to God after the situation is just that praying for it to be relieved on God's time and helping others. And that's just what I took away for it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your share, Sarah P. from California. Next up would be Mary Pat from Ohio.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you for your service and everybody who's doing service and listening. I am Mary Pat, a compulsive overeater of the worst kind from Ohio. And I thank God for this paragraph today. And I thank God for this program, the Big Book, and the pathway, the 12 steps pathway to recovery, because this is a very subject that I've been struggling with for probably all my life, but certainly the last couple of weeks it's been hitting me. And so I've got, my addiction, my compulsion, and the weight gain was an armor to avoid sexual intimacy and relationships and so forth. And but thoughts do cross my mind, let me tell you. And then so I, you know, have that fear of intimacy, and so I'm trying now to get, you know, to be able to fully be the woman that my higher power God has intended me to be. And it seems that that is the solution as far as for what's setting aside what I think I know about those things, sexuality, relationships, and so forth, and turning to God and asking him also to handle that aspect of my life as well, because it's not manageable for me right now. And prayer and listening to what he's got to say in response. And then throwing myself into helping people, that's the game plan. So I thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Mary Pat from Ohio. Next up is Dion R. from Ohio, followed by Paige L. from Oregon. Good morning, Dion.
Good morning, Melanie, and everyone else on the line. I am Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Ohio. I'm very grateful to be anywhere today, and just grateful I woke up. And then when I read this, I'm up with that. That's like, oh, what is that? No. And then, this reminds me, the part that stepped out to me, I just love everyone's shares and you brave souls. Like, oh, it's going slow rolling today. But it just reminds me of that, like many of you, I said, no matter what the problem, whether sex or not. I have to throw myself, the first time it over to my higher power for me, and then throw myself the harder into working with others, even if it's just listening, even if it's just opening the door, seeing how I can just be a first to the ladies in the building. You know, it's just always some kind of way my higher power gives me a chance, direction, as I give my higher power team to work on this problem. And before you know it, the solution is there. It's surrounding me. So that's just been working year after year after year, no matter what. Throw myself harder. If I'm in a hospital, I'm throwing myself. I'm still not to be of others. And you do it for so long, after a while it becomes a habit. It's like, you're here, so we can help you. What do you mean? But it's just a matter of giving God room. Like someone used to say, one of my old sponsors used to say, he got some elbow room, so he can work it out. But that's the way. So no matter what, if it's that imperious urge, you're like, whoa, would to come up, and it's when would to yield. It means to give in to, when I'm forced to read, look it up again, and it would mean heartache. Would I just slowly give in, or would I gradually give in, or, you know what I mean, or just get in? I will have heartache. That's what this is saying. I will have heartache. And today I haven't had heartache for a while, and I'm grateful for that. And I'll just continue to trust my higher power and put on foot in front of the other, no matter what. And with that, I'll say, thanks for allowing me to share with you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Dion. Whoops, I'm sorry. I talked over you. You're welcome. Thank you, Dion R. from Ohio. Next up, Paige L. from Oregon for 3 minutes, followed by Nicole. Paragraph 2, page 70. We might even have a little bit of time after these two women. Hey, Paige.
Oh, hi. Paige L. from Oregon. Checking in, claiming my seat, having a difficult time in my life right now. I knew you guys were there. Came to this program when I was 18. It was a long time ago. And been working it ever since. And the God thing was huge for me in the beginning because there were so many traumatic things that happened. I just want to say that I got on too late to hear the reading, but in the sharing, I'm just going to respond to that, that there is nowhere else for me to go right now except to God. Oh. And when I first found this program, the group was my higher power, because I grew up with a God that seemed like God wasn't listening. And I did all the things I was supposed to do and read all the things I was to read. And at this point in my life, I'm married to a minister. I do godly work. But my higher power, I find in the rooms of OA and other 12-step programs, but this was my first one. I thank my higher power every day that I have access to a power greater than myself through people. And the hardest thing right now, I just have to put it out there, is that I have a 30-year-old suicidal daughter who was still alive, shining star, queen of the parade, literally, second in her class. And I was a stay-at-home mom, and I did everything I could to do things right. But I have a partner who was not present and not godly for many years, and then went back to his own church. And I was able to stay out of the food and stay abstinent for 20-some years, and then I got diagnosed with celiac disease, and the foods that I was able to eat, some of my favorite things just literally fell off the planet, and it felt like I was put on a diet by God. So I've been clinging to this program and my other program, and I finally found abstinence a few days ago. I don't know exactly when it happened, and that's the way it was the first time. I've been unable to find true abstinence since 2014. I remember the day I lost it. I remember the bite I took and the food it was. And it was the end of the world. And, With that, I'll say thank you for listening, and thank you for being there.
Thank you, Paige. Paige L. from Oregon. Next up is Nicole from Washington, and after that, it looks like we're going to be able to take at least two more people to share for 3 minutes each. But for now, we'll listen to Nicole, and we all get ready. Star one, Nicole C. There you go.
Thank you so much. This is Nicole C. in Washington State, grateful member of this fellowship, and grateful to all of you who are doing service. Thank you, Team Wednesday. This paragraph is a perfect summary of all the guidance I need for engaging in intimate relationships. I pray for the right ideal. Higher power, who would you have me be? I pray in each questionable situation, what would you have me be? And then I pray, please help me show up with sanity and strength so I may be who and how you would have me be. And, you know, if things get troublesome, for me, that would look like I'm getting into people pleasing and abandoning myself, or I'm trying to control, which people pleasing really is a way of controlling, but things like that. Those are the ways that I'm going to get into a troublesome situation. And then I pray again, please show me how I can be joyfully of service in this situation. And then rinse and repeat. That is what I do. And it's that right ideal that really is my foundation. The first time I did a sexual inventory and I asked my higher power, who would you have me be in my intimate relationships? And I was shown, and that's my foundation. That is where I start from, and I continually go back to. And you know, the thing about this summary is that, as with everything in the big book, it's simple, but it's not easy. So, like I said, I keep coming back to higher power, and I keep coming back to all of you to hear, experience, strength, and hope. And that's all I have to say about it. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Nicole C. from Washington. We'd like to open up for additional comments on paragraph 2. Page 70, we're going to sum up about sex today. You'd like to share, and you haven't in the last 3 days. We'd love to hear from you.
Sharon E.
Sharon E. Okay. Anyone else? Star one, please. Sharon, do you want to go ahead and start out then, and we'll see what we can catch a little bit later, unless we have somebody else now. Okay.
Okay. This is Sharon E. from Ohio, gratefully recovering a compulsive overeater, thankful for this group and all of your experience in here that's really helped me out. In my own experience with this in the past and anytime now, God has given me my own right ideal. I realized at some point that my thought life is where, just like food, the sex issues could start if I allow it. So if I take each thought captive, I disallow the raunchy thoughts that could come. And if I allow my own desires instead of my decision to help others to take precedence, then I fail in my thought life, and action's never far behind. So even if it's not sex, not the outcome, or it could be sex talk, it could be flirting, that could take place. But I take that thought captive before that happens so that it never even takes place. So if I make sure I stop that thought in its tracks, along with an apology to God for even allowing that thought to come into my head, it will completely leave my mind. And I appreciate this particular paragraph because it has been an issue for me in the past. And so I'm very thankful for that. I agree with the gentleman who said to sum up about sex. It was kind of funny. Yeah, I agree. You never really sum up about it completely, but it is, it's very important to take all those thoughts captive and keep everything under God's control. Thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Sharon E. Appreciate that this morning. Who else would like to comment? I could take looks like maybe two for sure, maybe three. We'll see.
This is Jane. I'd be glad to share a bit.
Did you say Jane?
Kristen Washington.
Hang on just a second, Kristen. Did you say Jane?
No, Jan. So sorry, it's Janice. So sorry, Janice.
Okay, great. Gotcha, Janice. And then I heard Christ. Uh-huh. And maybe let's go with one more, just in case.
Janice K.
Janice K. Okay, gotcha. We'll start out with Janice H, followed by Christ, and then Janice K. 3 minutes for you, Janice.
Hi. I'm Janice H in Maryland, D.C. area. I've read this these paragraphs for many, many years. And, you know, the worst part of acting out was the fallout. The worst part was how I felt myself comparing myself to other women, thinking that they were more virtuous than me. I had no idea whether other women were working a better OA program around their sexuality. I had no idea, but I know how I felt. And so I always liked that slogan, think, think, think. You know, think about it and think it through. I'm 75, and this morning I was actually mulling over a relationship that was not healthy for me or that man from 50 years ago, and I realized that my motive was a way for me to look down upon the other appropriate men from my own background who would have been, quote, appropriate for me. Not only was I scared, but it was my way of poo-pooing the men and the women as friends who with whom there would have been no drama of that nature. I hope that's clear. It wasn't just because of him or how desirable he was. It was just kind of a way to negate the good in my life. I still have to pray for the right for guidance from the high power, for balanced thinking, for sanity. I really appreciate Bill W's sane thinking. You know, anorexic thinking is not healthy as much as hitting on men who are just not available. I hardly talk to any married men, by the way, unless I have a good professional reason to. Even in my OA meetings, you know, it's few and far between. And maybe that's a little bit of ego, probably is. But I do appreciate when I do throw myself into helping others, I do feel better about myself. But I also can't, it's not good for me. We're not supposed to be saints. We are not saints. We're willing to grow along spiritual lines. So I don't, I'm not harsh about my thoughts or my feelings. I'm not supposed to be a saint. I'm supposed to use my free will. I'm supposed to use my brain. And I'm supposed to use my memory of previous experiences. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Janice H., for stepping up to share on the paragraph. Chris S. from Washington, you're next for 3 minutes.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. It's great to be here online with you. What a fantastic paragraph. In my experience, it does four things. Number one, it tells me to take my ego out of the whole arena because I like to be right. I want to be right and I want to be perfect. So just praying to have my ego removed is really important for me. And then the prayer. Prayer for sanity and strength to do the right thing, you know, and be shown the right thing and talk it over with my sponsor. What is the right thing here? Really important issue there for me. And then the other one that's been spoken about a lot over the years is making those amends without hurting others, without hurting someone else in the mix. That's really important. And once again, not blaming others while I'm making this amends, and then reach out to others. It's amazing. In this paragraph, there's the two remedies for just about everything. Pray and reach out. Prayer and reach out. Prayer and reach out. And I thank my God for helping me with this every single day and sometimes from minute to minute. Have a great day, and with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Krista S. from Washington State. Next up, and probably our last share this morning, will be Janice K., and I believe from Oregon.
Yes, thank you. Janice K., the first thing that strikes me about this is this is, when I say this, I see a quick summation of steps 10, 11, and 12. We end up in question, I end up in questionable circumstances, unfortunately, frequently. Not always about sex, mind you, but life just confronts me with questionable circumstances. Questionable because when I deal with steps 10, 11, and 12, sometimes the answer is, I don't know what to do. A lot of people have spoken of difficulty in life. Well, you know, life happens. What I see in this is Dr. Bob's description of program. Clean house, trust God, help others. What do we do when we have a questionable circumstance? Well, the first thing I do is admit that I may not be right. I have a problem. I am uncomfortable. The problem is at me. Which of my defects is rearing its ugly head at this time? Anger, selfishness, dishonesty, or fear? And once I hand those over, I get to ask God for guidance and the strength to do the right thing. Steps 11 and 12. It works for sex. It works for lots and lots of other things. It takes us out of ourselves because that's what addicts are. Addicts are selfish. I also feel that I owe the group an amend. I apologize for my last couple of shares. I had major surgery recently, and if I sounded like I was on drugs, I was. They were prescription. I took them as directed. I'm off them now. My brain is back. Thank you so much for having me back. I pass.
Thank you very much, Janice K., for your share. Janice K. from Oregon. And that's the last share that we'll have this morning on the paragraph 2, page 70. So if you would join me, please, and wrapping up this recorded portion of the meeting, I'd like to ask Betsy H. to please read from page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and then we'll follow that with a serenity prayer together. Hey, Betsy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Melanie. Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.